Hello and welcome to the Bridge City Church podcast. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m. We'd love to have a coffee and a chat. We hope you enjoy this week's message, brought to you by Pastor Robin. See you at church.
Well, good morning. Good to see you all this morning. I don't know about you guys, but that song just breaks me every time. Turn your eyes on Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. It's wonderful. That worship time this morning was just amazing too. You know, I really feel like God's recalibrating us in the year that is, realigning us, almost like he's running us through a defrag, getting our files all sorted and put in order. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. The message I have this morning is it's time for restoration. Amen? So good to be in the house this morning. If you have your Bibles with you or if you've got your phones on, I think we've had some technical issues this morning. Are they all sorted? Yep. Okay. I'm going to read to you this morning from the book of Luke, chapter 4, from verse 16. And the title on it is Jesus is Rejected at Nazareth. So he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" And then I want to parallel it from out of Isaiah 61, and I'm just going to read the first three verses there. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified." Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you in this house, Lord God, your word is truth, your word is life. Wherever your word is preached, you bring truth, Lord God. But Father, at Bridge City Church, I thank you for the whole tenet of Scripture from Genesis through to Revelation. And every part of that word has a thread of blood running through from Genesis through to Revelation. And that red thread is the blood of Jesus. That was always your plan for salvation for mankind. This morning in this house, I pray, Lord God, you would make my tongue as the pen of a skillful writer to portray what you would have me portray, Lord God. Lord, take my words and make them yours, Father God. Flow through me, Holy Spirit. I pray for everyone listening to the sound of my voice, that it would not be my voice that's heard, but your voice that's heard, Father God. Lord, that you would speak to your children. children today. You would speak to those who are seeking after you today. That you would speak to those who are hurt, that are in need of healing, Lord God. And Lord God, that the word that you would speak to each one of us today would be that word of restoration, that it is restoration time and it's beginning now in the house, Lord God. And Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, Lord, that you, Father God, would be glorified as I bring these words today. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Jesus was preaching at Nazareth, the city where he was brought up. And we are told how he preached there throughout the word and how he was persecuted there and how he was rejected there. At the beginning of chapter 4, Jesus had gone out into the desert after fasting for all of those days, and he'd been tempted by the devil, and then he'd come back in and he'd used words, it is written, his words that were Father's words to overcome the attack of the devil. And then he comes into Nazareth, and it was as it was his habit on the Sabbath, and he picked up the book of Isaiah to read it on this morning. And we're going to go into it this morning. But Christ came to be a great prophet because he was sent to heal the brokenhearted. He was sent to give peace to those who are troubled and to bring them rest, to bring those that are heavy laden the peace that only he can bring, to also lift the burdens of guilt and shame in everyone's life that for some way so heavily on us, but others, you know, it's become a way of life just carrying those burdens. He came to be the great Redeemer. He not only proclaims liberty to the captives and sets the captive free, but he also ministers to those that are bruised. Sometimes we're not totally disabled by what happens in life, but there's bruising that occurs. I hurt my knee this week. Everybody go, ah. And it's bruised and it hurts to stand on. And as I was preparing this message, I thought, you know what? Jesus is our healer. And when I thought about the bruising that occurs, it's the bruising in our souls, not just our physical bruising, but the bruising in our souls and how our spirits become bruised by the life that we live in, the world that we live in. And I thought too, you know, Jesus is our healer. He is our all in all. He's our everything. But he also came with the authority that Father had placed upon him, with the power that God had given him on earth to forgive sins and to be able to set at liberty those that are captive, to give us freedom. When he'd read this passage of Scripture, he rolled it up and he sat down. And it was a powerful thing that he did. Because what he was basically saying is Isaiah 61 is pointing to the Messiah that was to come, who was going to bring all of these things. And Jesus said, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. What a statement is that? And do you think the Pharisees and Sadducees might have been a bit riled by that? I think so. You see, all the scriptures of the Old Testament were to be fulfilled by the Messiah, every single one of them was to be accomplished through the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a huge deal. This morning, I really want to talk about restoration of the church. This morning, I'm not going to touch on the restoration of Israel, which was always God's plan, maybe another day. But I want to talk today about the restoration of God's people. I want to talk about Jesus' authority and his mandate and his purpose. So let's go to our scripture. Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Firstly, Jesus was qualified for his work. He was qualified. The Spirit of the Lord was upon him. All the gifts and graces of the Spirit were conferred upon him by Father. And as he did this, as he came to earth, everything that was needed to be done, everything that was part of God's plan was going to be outplayed through Jesus. He was the only one who could do it. He was the only one who could pay the price. He was the only one who was sinless. It was always God's plan for salvation of mankind that Jesus would come with power and with authority and to heal in every aspect. You see, the prophets before him had spoken words of life, but they were with measure. Jesus came and the Spirit upon him was without measure. Absolutely incredible. Secondly, he was commissioned. The word says, because he has anointed me and sent me. He was anointed to bring the word. He was anointed to set the captive free. He was anointed to heal the blind. He was anointed to heal the sick. He was anointed to do everything that is spoken of in Isaiah 61, but brought through into Luke chapter 4. He was anointed because God had said, "This is my beloved Son," in another passage of Scripture. Hear him, do what he says. He's the one. He's the one that's going to do this. In chapter 3, you see he's baptized by John in the River Jordan. And you know what? All of these things are adding up. They're all coming to the culmination of Jesus standing up in the synagogue in Nazareth and saying this day, "Today this is fulfilled in your sight." So he was speaking to the religious, he was speaking to the Pharisees, the Sadducees, but the word that is written in Luke chapter 4 is speaking to us today. And it's as relevant as it was then, as it is now, as it will be in the future, that Jesus has come to set the captive free. It's him, it's all about him. And I get really excited about that. I really get excited about that. Jesus, that last song we sang, "You are my everything and I will adore you. You are my everything." And I question myself, how much of my life is given over to Jesus? How much more do I need to surrender to Jesus? And there's a way to go. And I can only speak personally. But I tell you what, for him to be our everything, for him to be our raison d'etre, reason for being, is all that we want to be doing. It really is. It really is. You know, we have lives, we have families, we have partners, we have children, grandchildren, friends, workmates. And I think that if everything that we do comes out of our passion, our love for Christ and our desire to serve him, then our world is going to look completely different in the things that we do. And that's my heart's desire. For restoration to come in this year that we're in. And for that to happen, we've got to be prepared. There's a preparedness that God wants to work in our spirits. I was listening to a message. I shared this at prayer meeting this morning. I was listening to a message this week from Pastor Jensen Franklin, and it was recorded a few years ago now. And he posed the question, I wonder, in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, how they prayed. What did they say to Father God? Because they didn't have finances that needed to be prayed into. They didn't have family at that stage that were wayward, or they didn't have sickness, they didn't have ill health, they didn't have strategies or priorities. Father God was there all in all. So what did they pray? And it just took me to that place of, wow, the purity of relationship with God, where we can just be in that holy place with him, in intimacy with him. And we need to pray, because the world we live in, there are so many things that are so imperfect, and we need his protection, we need his positioning, we need his strategy and priority in the things that we do if we're going to make an impact on our world and if we're going to walk with him. But in its purest form, that prayer is sitting in God's presence, just being with him. Just like I had a picture of people that have been married for a long, 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 long time, and they sit comfortable in intimacy with each other, not a word being said. And I thought about the fact that if we are the bride of Christ and we're going to be with Jesus, our bridegroom. Sometimes I think we need to come back to some basics and really sit in that still place, just loving on God, just loving on him, just receiving that love and loving back on him. And I wonder how different my world might look if I ceased from my busyness sometimes a bit more to be thankful and grateful just that I can call him Abba Father. I digress anyway. It's worth thinking about, isn't it? And also that Eve wasn't in that still, quiet, cool place at the end of the day where it was their custom in the quiet and the cool of the evening to talk with Father. And she went away. But if she'd been in that place of intimacy with God, how different things might have looked. Just a bit of food for thought. He was commissioned because he has anointed me and he sent me. His extraordinary qualification amounted to the commission of God. His being anointed signifies both being fitted for the undertaking that God had called him to. But we also know that those who God appoints, he anoints. Those who God appoints, he equips. And that applies to every single one of us. So if God's called you to do something, he's equipped you to do something. If he's called you to do something, he'll give you all you need in his time to do what you need to do in his time. So let's look at the restoration of God's kingdom. What's he restoring to us? He's restoring to us his truth. He's restoring to us God's own truth, not philosophies, not ideas, not man's thoughts or anything. He's restoring to us his truth, and that's truth through his word. He has sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. Who are the poor? I thought about that. Who's the poor? We're the poor. Every single person in this whole world that doesn't know Jesus are the poor. And it's not those who are financially poor, it's those who are poor in spirit. And you read the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, for they will see God. How amazing is that? Everyone born in this earth is included in this statement. Everyone that's conceived in a womb is included in this statement. We all need a Saviour. We all need God. We all need to know him as Redeemer. We all need to know him as our Deliverer and our Saviour. And God has given us his Son. And for us to preach the gospel to the poor, it's how we live our lives. It's how we go about in our community, in our workplace. It's how we portray the life that God has given us, even with words sometimes, but letting his light shine so that others can see in you the hope that you have, no matter what's happening in your life, that Christ in you is the hope of glory. And that same Christ that is in you by his Spirit wants to touch every single person in this world, every single one in this community, everyone in our sphere of influence. Every single one of us needs Jesus. They don't know it yet. But we know it because his word says that all shall be saved. And that's our great commission. It's to preach the word in season, out of season, and sometimes even using those words because it's our life that's going to reflect everything. If you are out and about and you run into people and have you ever had anyone say to you, you know, what is it about you? There's something about you. What is it? You see, that's the light of Christ shining in us. And then that opens the door. You see, Vic and I always used to pray, Pastor Vic and I always used to pray, Lord, let them ask the questions of us. You see, when they ask the questions, then you have the opening to say the things that you need to say in God. And I still pray that. I still pray that. Lord, let them ask the questions. And then you give me utterance. You give me the words that need to be said. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted. You see, it's restoration of broken souls. And it's the nurture that so many need in the day that we're living in. Broken souls, people who have been knocked around and really on the hard end of life. And we only have to look at the news each week. Like this week, we saw a poor, poor woman, poor soul, broken, who couldn't live anymore. And, you know, that brokenness in souls. God, give us eyes to see the broken in our community. God, give us words to speak, those words of life. Give us the hands to be the help to those who are broken in soul. Help us to be nurturers. As mothers, I think sometimes nurture comes a little easier. as fathers, there is always that strength and the capacity to love on people with whatever giftings they have, but that nurture, and I've seen it incredibly in men and women, to pull alongside of someone who is brokenhearted and speak that nurturing life into them. You see, life, when we're sensitive and when we're knocked around, it can produce incredible insecurities in us. And if we're walking in insecurities because of stuff that's happened in our life, then the only panacea for that is the love of God to bring that sensitivity to the surface, bring that insecurity into the surface, so that God's healing can minister that nurture, that you are fearfully and wondrously made, that you are loved by God, that no matter what has happened to you, no matter where life has led you, God is the one who can bring that nurture and restoration of the brokenness of your soul. I know He's done it for me. He continues daily to do it for me. He nurtures me like a father holding a child on his lap, covering, protecting, loving on, making you safe, allowing you to feel that sense of wholeness. God wants to do that in us and through us. You see, we're God's answer for this community and every other church in this area that preaches a full born-again message. We're all it, people. And God is preparing us for the people that are going to come in. You see, we can be stunted and we can be dwarfed and we can be shamed and molded by life circumstances. And to me, that's like, who knows bonsai plants? It's like you're stunted because your top is snipped off, your roots are snipped off, and you will only grow to the capacity of the pot that you're in. God wants to set us free. He wants to break us free. He wants our roots to go down deep into Him. He wants us to grow up tall. And I really just sense that in the worship that we give to God, we're reaching out to Him. That's the growing of our soul as we unite with the Spirit of God and bring worship in the house and in our lives and in our homes day by day. See, church just doesn't stop when we leave here on a Sunday. It's every day. It's every day loving Him. It's every day worshiping Him. And in that worship, the healing comes. That healing power that only God can bring. Unnurtured sensitivity produces unrivaled insecurities. You see, if we have unnurtured sensitivity in our lives that are pushed down and molded into a shape that God never wanted it to be in, then those insecurities that we live with will be unrivaled. And it's only God that can bring the healing that we need. God wants us to break out of our self and other imposed limitations and molds. Get the bonsai gone. Get your roots down deep into Him. And allow God to restore us to the factory settings, our default settings, how He made us and His plan for us. There's also restoration of authority as believers. Restoration of the authority of what God has done in your life, who He is, how He speaks through His word. And as believers, we can take the authority of the word of God, we can appropriate it, we can apply it in our lives, and we can use it for His glory. You see, it was all about rebuilding in Isaiah 61. That work of restoration that needed to be done to restore Zion, that He might be glorified, that Jesus would be glorified, that God would be given all the praise and glory for what He's going to do. And we're like those buildings sometimes that have been knocked down, and yet it's the laying down of good foundations, and sometimes when foundations have gone down badly, we need to have them uprooted so that the bricks can go down well, so that the damp course can go down, so that as the house goes up, it grows up strong and it grows up secure. This week we've had the church and the function hall and the manse all white ant treated, proofed stuff. But what they did was they drilled into the foundations all the way around, every 15 centimetres or so, all the way around the building. They drilled right down deep, right into the foundation. And then they came along and they put the treatment in. And then they came along afterwards and they put the top over it. And you see, that's like us in the Word of God. We've got to drill down deep into the Word of God. We've got to put our roots into Him, allow Him to fill us with His Spirit, and then we seal it in Him so that what we are carrying is His presence, His life, His hope, His Word. And when we do that, we have that authority to speak that Word with power. He's restoring our identity. This world's identity is so mixed up. But Galatians 3:27 says there is neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And Genesis 1:27 says, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Be who God has created you to be, without fear and without compromise, not according to your birthright, not according to, you know, the place you are in the family, not according to your social status, not according to your circumstances, but how God has made you and for the purpose that He's made each one of us. You see, God also wants to restore the purpose, and that is to make disciples. Go therefore and make disciples and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. That's our purpose, church, to be restored, to be full of Him, to have that purpose so that it's not just about us, it's a preparation that's going to occur in us so that as the lost come in, as we go out, you see, the work of the church is 90% on the outside of the building. And as we are restored, as we are healed, and as we are hearing the Word of God, and as we've got our roots down deep into Him and working in unity and in love and in one accord, God's going to add to us. You see, where there is unity, God commands the blessing. He's going to restore to us the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, the chewing locust. Who knew there were so many locusts? Wow. My great army, which I sent among you, God wants to restore. God wants to heal. And my experience, healing is not always just a one-off event. It's a process, line by line, precept by precept. What's happened in your life, if it's been a negative event, it will affect your negativity unless you bring it through the cross and unless you filter it through the lens of Jesus. It's like we have photographers in the house. And the picture that's created is according to the lens that you put on it, isn't it? I believe today God wants us to put the lens of His Word on our lives, and by His Spirit that we will see things not according to what the enemy wants us to see or how the natural is, but as each thing happens, filter it through the Spirit of God, the lens of the Word of truth, the lens of the Spirit of God, so that we can reflect God's truth, God's healing, God's restoration. Amen. I'm drawing to a close because I've got 2 minutes left. To set at liberty those who are oppressed. Restoration of freedom from bondage, free from all oppression, free from bondage, free from fear, free from life-controlling circumstances and substances. Free from thoughts and patterns that are in opposition to the Word of God and what God would say about you. Sometimes the bondage that we have is expectations that have not been met, and we struggle with disappointment and discouragement. But God wants to renew our minds through the washing of the word. You see, I think our greatest bondages in the world that we live in can be ungodly mindsets or being unteachable. God wants to continue to grow us and teach us and show us things. And I think the minute that we think we've got it all together, we're in trouble. Because he is the great master. Jesus, Rabboni, teacher. He'll teach us all things, lead us in all truth. Restoration of liberty, to be free, to be the person God's created you to be. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again by a yoke of slavery," or a yoke of bondage, another version says. Galatians 5:13, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use your liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." And then a couple of verses later it says, "Walk in the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I am also known." God wants to restore liberty to his church. And that's not a free-for-all. It's not a party that has got no constructs or parameters around it. You see, God is not the author of confusion, but God has given us a spirit of liberty that we can be free to be who we are and to do what he's called us to do. And there's an order and there's a pattern and there's an authority that comes with that. But God is restoring liberty to his church. A restoration of thought processes, breaking free from the lies of the enemy and things that have been told over us, spoken over us, limitations that have been placed over us. "You'll never amount to anything. You're never anything. You know, you're not good enough for that." Lies. In this house today, I want you to know that you are whatever God has made you to be. So throw off those shackles and those restrictions that are preventing you from growing into the fullness of all that God has for you to be. To be the person God's created you to be. No matter what's happened to you, you might have been a victim or you might have been the victimizer. You know, there's forgiveness in God. There is forgiveness and there's healing in God. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, God's no respecter of persons. He doesn't have favourites. He loves us all equally. But how much do we love him? You see, to the extent that you yield to God and love God is to the extent that you're going to feel his love. He wants us to be free, to feel his love, to know his love. Acts 10:34, this is from the King James. "Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" The New King James says he shows no partiality. He doesn't have favourites. Isn't that awesome? "And God's not a man that he should lie," Numbers 23:19. "God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the restoration of salvation, that the church is going to know salvation, that the community is going to know salvation, as like no other time in history except maybe when the book of Acts was written. I just really believe that as we allow God to do in us what needs to be done in us, we're going to be prepared. And there are things that we're going to be doing. We've got a leadership meeting next Sunday and there's things that we want to put in place in preparation for what God's going to do, because God is not going to trust us with his children unless we have prepared. We've got to be a safe place for people to come to. We've got to not compromise. We've got to have that love of God in us. But God wants to prepare us so that when they come in, we can love on them. We can be God's answer in Bridge City Church for this community. Amen. God restoring the church, individual by individual, one by one. The now kingdom of God. But you know what? The end of this scripture says, isn't this Joseph's son? Like, who are you to say this? So there will be negativity. And there will be those who would say, oh, really? You want to do what? At the end of the day, we're not about pleasing people. We've got to be about pleasing God. At the end of the day, we've got to be faithful and committed. We've got to be united in the vision of this church, in what God's called each one of us to do, and you are all part of a team that God has placed here in Murray Bridge for this time, for this place. And we're going to have Vision Sunday in a couple of weeks too, and we'll share the vision more completely. Is that good English? More. So just have that sense of expectancy in your heart that as God has built restoration into your life, he wants to do it more in you and he wants to do it through you. And that's exciting. So as the naysayers come and the doubters and the mockers, you do what God has given you to do. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Draw near to those who are going to speak life. Draw near to those who are the same DNA of the house that are going to say, come on, let's do this together. We are stronger together. We can do this together. That motivation that comes from being with those of a like spirit, that all that God wants to do in us and through us, that work of restoration, it's time for restoration here. And the year that's unfolding, we don't know what's ahead of us, but we know that God does. And we know that as we draw into him and listen to him and respond to him, he's going to give us all we need. Amen? And I'm out of time. So the takeaway today, be his. Be fully given over to him. Allow him to work that personal restoration in our lives. Be a restorer. Be a kingdom builder. Walk in the Spirit. Know that your healing is an ongoing process and it doesn't disqualify you from being used by God now, because we're all at different places in our walk with God, but God wants to use you today. Take that time for that intimacy with God, just to sit in his presence and not say anything, just to be with him. It'll change your life. You see, God's got the answer. If you've got Jesus, he's got the answer and he's going to show you. And I'm going to close with that. But I'm going to open the altar shortly once we go offline for those who want prayer, but we're going to pray now. In the year that we are in, it is time for restoration and it starts with us. It starts with us. Because that restoration is the preparation for what God wants to do in us and through us and into our community. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you today that you are the great I am. You are the restorer, you are the healer, and you sent Jesus, Lord God, that he spoke these words as echoed from Isaiah 61. Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he has sent me to bring restoration, open the blind eyes, restore those sight, set the captive free, proclaim the acceptable year of our salvation. And Lord God, I thank you today that it's these words that motivate us, it's these words that you have spoken that have been confirmed as Jesus came to do this, that make us know that you have a plan and you have a purpose. God, I pray for everyone in this house and those listening online. I pray, Father, for salvation for those who don't know you. I pray, Lord God, today for those who don't know you to cry out to Jesus and say, Jesus, be my Savior. Jesus, be my Lord. Jesus, take my life. I surrender to you. And Father, I thank you for those that do know you. I thank you today for, Lord God, a work of restoration that has already begun in each life, but I thank you today for all that you're going to do. You're going to do so much more. And Father, as we yield to you, Father, I thank you for that healing, for that restoration, the restoration of the truth of your word, the restoration of the truth of your commission, Lord God, that we are the arms and the feet and the mouth and the ears, Lord God, that you want to speak through and touch through and heal through in this life that we live, in this community that we live, wherever we are. And I thank you today for what you're going to do through that, Lord God. But Lord God, in it all, I thank you that it's all about Jesus, and we want to give him all the praise and all the glory and all the honor, because it's all about you and what you have done for us. So, Lord, we just commit this all into your hands. And we pray, Father God, that each one of us would leave this place today with just such a sense of purpose. Lord, where there's been seed that's sown into lives that have fallen dormant and felt dead, I pray for the power of your Spirit, by a move of your Spirit, just to water those seeds, to bring them back to life, if those seeds are the ones that you've planted in our lives. And I pray today, Father God, that you would bring it to fruit. And Father God, I pray for great unity in the body of Christ. I pray, Father God, for the power of your Spirit to fill each one of us, that we would know, because we know that we're about your business, working in that love that you've poured into our hearts to reach this community, to reach this world with the hope of Jesus. Lord, we thank you, we praise you. In the mighty name of Jesus, the name that is above every name, this year we purpose like no other to fix our eyes on Jesus and to follow you, that we would be God-centered, Spirit-led, Christ-focused, and word-based, in Jesus' most precious and holy name. And everyone said, amen. Join us for coffee after, out in the function hall. But for those who are online, we'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. If you enjoyed today's podcast, make sure you subscribe to stay up to date with all our latest sermons. If you would like to get connected, you can find us on Facebook at Bridge City Church. Or come along to our Sunday service at 10 a.m.